So last week, the word that God placed so deeply on my heart was, where is our security? In whom? In what? What is it? If our security is not in Christ, then we have a faulty foundation. And I said, this week, as a church community, or as an eldership team, we went, we want to begin to do it. I've been here nearly for 12 months now, and I feel like God is starting to stir and go, but it's now time to look at vision and where are we going? What is it that He's stirring? What is it He's inviting us into? And as I've already mentioned, there is testimonies that have happened in this place this week that are extraordinary, life-changing, answers to years of heart's cry in some cases. I almost feel like God's got His foot on the accelerator. We're in an acceleration process of dealing with our stuff. And it almost feels like we're hanging on and we're sort of flying out the back like you do when you're behind a ski boat. The word that God gave for me for today's message, I already had it last week, which is rare for me, but it's whose vision are we living? Not knowing that we'd go on this journey quite as succinctly as this. And as I said, Aaron's going to finish my message off today, so get ready for that. But this by no means is a finished statement. But to give you an insight into what God spoke to us on Thursday as we met, I'll give you a quick overview. And as I say, I know this will be sharpened, but hopefully this will give you some idea of what God is inviting us into. And as Doug's already shared, the things that we do will actually affect the outcome. How we live it out will affect the outcome. We were talking about it. If God gives Elaine and Suzanne and Trev and whoever else a vision for their life, and God starts to speak into it, and He has placed you here in this community, the vision that He has given you for your personal journey will connect and become unity within the vision that He wants for us as a community. There is no lone rangers in the kingdom. I went to the rodeo last night and saw some wild bulls and some wild stallions that even the most courageous of cowboys and that could not tame in those moments. We don't need wild bulls and stallions in the body of Christ. We need men and women who are willing to come under the lordship of Jesus Christ and step into what He has for us, because it's never done in isolation, ever. So Liam bought 1 Kings 6, and you're welcome to go and read it. But in 1 Kings 6, it's talking about the temple being overladen with gold and the inner working of the temple. And I won't go into all of that, but it was about the God's doing the internal work so that you can do the external work. If our foundations aren't right, it will crack, it will fall away, just like when you build a house. I felt very strongly, some of you may know, but there is a plan in the natural to redevelop Mombok. Some of it is concerning for me, but I'm not going to get into that part of it. But there's in the natural, they're wanting to redesign our community. And I felt like God saying, I am doing a redesign so that my glory can be hosted here. We sang this morning, the King of my heart. The word that God said, prepare to host your king. Think about it. If God was to walk through this door, and he is here because he's in us by his spirit, by the way. But if we knew that Jesus was turning up as a special guest today, would we be doing things differently? It's a really powerful question. Prepare to host your king. See, God doesn't want, I don't believe God wants another revival that sort of starts and stops and starts and stops and those things. He is wanting it to do an outpouring of his glory, and he's looking for places on the earth where he can host, where he can be hosted, where he will be welcomed, even if it means that he turns up in ways that shock us make us question our theology, make us do all those things that happen. There is a, when God's glory turns up, we have to be ready to be messed up in our theology, in the way that we behave, in the way we experience him, the way we love each other, because his glory is bigger than we could ever imagine. Some of the stories that Aaron has told me of some of the guys that are sold out for the kingdom that go into Africa. Oh my goodness. We haven't seen anything yet. Karen felt there was a word that says what we did on Thursday influences the whole of Mombok. And she relayed a story of that when, where she is, that the whole of Mongabok could hear. And she felt like there was an influence and a regional influence that we were to have as a community. Andre had a very strong word about the pulling down of strongholds. Are we willing to do the internal work? Are we willing to do the work as a whole community to pull down the strongholds that are actually in place, that actually is stopping us from being able to step into what God has for us? Do I know what all these things are yet? No. But we're going to seek him for the answers. So for those of you who are new to our community, you've come today to get a bit of an idea of what we're about. This is what 2023 we will be aiming at as a leadership. Number one, we want to be a presence-centered church. We want to be centered around the very presence of God. We want to host our King, as I've already mentioned. We want to know God. That word know, as you hear me, if anyone who's heard me preach, gnosko, intimacy with the Father, gnosko, Jewish item for making love. That's the kind of intimacy that God wants to have with you and I. If you want to know where that comes from, it comes from John chapter 17, verse 3. This is eternal life, that you will know God. That word is gnosko. That we will be a church community led by his Spirit, and are willing to actually stop all things. If he says stop right now, we stop. If he says go, we go. Will we get it right? No, that's why we need grace, and that's why we need each other to be able to speak into each other's lives. Number two, we want to be a transformational community. I don't want someone to be sitting in this chair in 12 months' time and you're still exactly the same. God is transforming us from glory to glory. He is renewing our mind. I want to see people more healthy physically, emotionally, and spiritually because you're a part of this community. How will we do that? We will have a prayer focus in everything we do. We will have a prophetic culture where we want to see and hear the voice of God. I do not want to define one person in this room by the dirt in their lives. I want us to define every person by the gold that God has placed in there, and let God do the transformational work of getting rid of the dirt so the gold can shine. That's what a transformational community looks like. Inner healing, the breaking of strongholds, being willing to be vulnerable. When we get it wrong, I get it wrong. But are we going to crucify each other for getting it wrong? Or are we going to get alongside each other and go, let's learn from this. Let's grow through this. And Aaron, I'm going to get to you in just a moment. To equip, number three, is to equip, send out. Andre said these three words, equip, raise up, and release. We want to be a community that has regional influence for the kingdom of God. This area is known for a stronghold of the new age. I want it to be changed. I want it to be a stronghold for the kingdom of God. I want people who come up here seeking answers in all the other areas to walk in here, walk up here and go, whoa, for some reason I've rocked up at this church. Or they encounter, they're about to walk into a new age clairvoyance session and they go, nope, because a Christian here has actually stopped them on their journey and went, did you know that God knows you, that he loves you, that he's got a plan for your life, he's got a purpose for your life, and you don't need that, go to him. Don't go to the counterfeit, go to him. Don't pay to go to clairvoyant and get a free demon on the way. Go to God and get freedom and get freed from the demonic. But we want to be people who are equipped. So part of being able to go out and preach the gospel is that we need to be equipped. Aaron, Isaac, Dave and Amanda were equipped this week with skills to be able to release the kingdom of God into the world. Brings tears to my eyes when I saw a video of my 22-year-old son who has, he's autistic, preaching on the streets of Bendigo. Autism's a gift. He's got a single focus, and right now his single focus is to see the kingdom of God come to earth. Now, that's a kind of obsession, I reckon, that'd be pretty good, I reckon. Don't you agree? He's playing drums down at the sanctuary this morning. So that gives you a bit of an idea of where we're aiming at. Presence focused. Transformational culture. And equipping and sending out. I'm not really interested in a 5-year, 10-year plan to go, this is how we're going to do it and be able to map it out and be able to give you all the blueprints. Maybe God will give it to me. That's not usually the way he works with me, sorry. But maybe you'll bring someone else alongside of me that actually will go, no, this is actually the steps to do it and we'll together do it because that's actually what we need, the body of Christ. My weaknesses will be someone else's strengths. Not to be threatened by it, but actually to be enhanced by it. I'm just going to quickly share. Can you go to the slides, please? Just the first verse out of... Yeah, just keep going. So whose vision are you living in, God or your own? Proverbs 28:18. There is no when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But when you follow the revelation of the Word, who's the Word? Jesus. Heaven's bliss fills our soul. Next one. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secrets in the servant... let me go again. Blah, 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 blah. For the Lord God does nothing without revealing his secret to his servants, the prophet. We need a prophetic culture. We need an apostolic culture. Apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. We need the fivefold. Next one. Habakkuk 2:2-3. And make it plain on tablets that he may run, who reads it. I think I need my vision improved so I can do that. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and it will not lie. When God speaks to us and shows his vision, he will make it happen. He says in the Word of God that if we don't worship him, the rocks will. I don't want rocks to worship him. I want to be passionately worshiping him. I want to hear the prophetic vision he has for us. Next one. Jeremiah 29:11, know it so well. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. They are plans to prosper you They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. In those days you will pray, I will listen. If you look to me wholeheartedly, you will find me. New Testament scripture, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. There's the recipe, seek him first above all things. Next one. Just a question. Can we go to the video, please?
You might need to do a double click. Don't tell me it's not going to work now. It was really good, too. It is on the desktop with PowerPoint.
But I don't know. It's all good. Basically, what Bill is going to say in this message, you just say, better than I will. If the vision for your life is achievable by you, it's not from God. If it's impossible, it's from him. If our vision is achievable, it's too small. If it's what he's asking us to step into, it will be the impossible becomes possible. His vision, these things will follow those who believe, signs, wonders, miracles, the deaf will hear, the lame will walk, the dead will be raised. As can you come up? It's all good. I'll finish with that last. Don't worry about it. God wants to do the impossible. He wants us to be a people seeking his heart, his vision, not just corporately, but individually. Individually, he will put us together. I am unapologetically praying for people with the right skill sets to be coming into our community so that we can be ready to actually do what God has called us to do. But I don't want church hopping just because it's popular. I want to make a promise to you that I will never entertain you to keep you here. Because if I do, I'm failing you and I'm failing in my mission as a pastor and leader in this place. It should be the presence of God that draws us to this place. And that alone. And then together as his family, we see the kingdom. And in speaking of family, for those of you who don't know who are new, this is my son Aaron. The privilege of being able to incorporate him into today. He's going to go so much further than I ever will. The call and gift on this bloke's life spins me out. And the privilege of being his dad. And Elijah's dad and Isaac's dad. I don't even have words really other than it is the greatest privilege and the greatest thing. So I'm going to hand over to you.
Cool. Cool. Well, yeah, for those that don't know, I was up at the CFAN fire camp learning how to tell people about Jesus, but it was a lot more than that. I went up there just expecting to be a week, you know, get the skills to be able to tell people about Jesus and being able to evangelize to my community and beyond. That was one thing I learned over the weekend too, so, yeah. I came into this camp thinking, yeah, that I was just going to have a camp where I was just going to get the skills to be able to tell people about Jesus, but it was way more than that. And from one of the guys that I was doing this thing with, Colton, he put it really well. We came out of this camp with the ability to be able to evangelize, but through the week, we actually got heart surgery. So it means nothing being able to tell people about Jesus or to see healing and see all these things if my eyes aren't on God. And with what Dad's brought up this morning about living God's vision, not our vision, are my eyes on God in everything that I do? Am I putting my finances, am I putting everything over to God? Because at the end of the day, His plan is perfect. His plan is perfect. And what is our vision that we are trying to live by, putting us in bondage that He can't actually fulfill His calling over our life through? So one of the things that God showed me over this past week is to go to Africa in March. For those who don't know, I'm going up to the Greenhouse to do a discipleship program for those who might be new. And there's this trip in March that I was, not necessarily wanting to go to because, well, I don't have the money. And two, I just thought it was going to be too much too quickly to go move out of home for the first time and then jump into a mission trip. But God told me to go, so I'm going. So, yeah, just quickly on that. If you feel led to give financially, then by all means. But more importantly, in prayer, that could be more important than any finance that I could ever give. But yeah, one of the other big things that I encountered over this time was a fresh revelation of the Father heart of God. One of the opportunities I got over this past little while was to actually receive a father's blessing. And for those that don't know, in Jewish culture, it's the father's role to bless their child. They've got all these events and special events or whatever where they're actually there just to bless their kid. And, you know, that's like, I think it's, what's it called? Bar mitzvah, that's it. Yeah, and at the bar mitzvah, they lift their son up in the air and the father's, gives them a blessing, that's my son. I got to receive this father's blessing and, to picture it, I got this opportunity to, receive this hug from this guy named Jeffrey. And obviously these leaders at this camp obviously carry that father heart of God. And I want you to just imagine this. I was hugging him. It was about 40 degrees and we were both really sweaty, but I was just sitting there hugging him for about 10 minutes and sobbing my eyes out because I had this revelation of the father heart of God. And to go along with that, the night before we did communion all together. And I have never really had a revelation of what Jesus actually paid for when he died on the cross for us. And I think Dad might have shared this last week, but during this time, I saw a vision of the nail going into Jesus' hand. And it just broke me. Because we can never truly understand the price that Jesus paid for us. Whilst we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Also, can't remember if it was the third or fourth night, but it was one of those nights, or it was midday. I can't even remember when it was, but I had this vision of me on the beach with Jesus. And he was walking in front of me and I was just following him, walking in his footprints. And then as we were walking, he gestured to me to follow him and he just started running up the beach. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt that I would step in every single one of his footprints. And what God downloaded me through that is I knew that I was going to step into every one of his footprints because I had an intimate relationship with the Father. Let me get my notes back up. So, at the end of the day, God's vision is perfect. And are we willing to chase after that vision? And the way that we do that, The way that we are able to go and chase after his vision and to step into every single one of his footprints is by doing this. Are we ready to lay everything down at the cross? Are we ready to lay our religious ways of doing things? Are we ready to lay down the way that we personally would like to do church and replace it for his vision? And as Christians, we're very good at keeping ourselves in bondage. And we forget what Jesus actually paid for on the cross. So I just want you to picture this for a second. Just imagine yourself, you're trapped in bondage and chains, and you've got the chains wrapped around you, and there's a lockpick ready to be opened. But then Jesus is standing in front of you with the key, and he's waiting for you to ask him to open that lock. And back to talking about Africa, there was things that I had to lay down personally to put at his feet. And I know we're all carrying those things, every single one of us. And I had to lay down my finances, because at the end of the day, his plan is perfect. And if he wants me to go to Africa, then I will make the funds. And yeah, so I just want to give you guys an opportunity to be able to minister to you guys. And if you want to encounter that love of God for afresh today, then I want to give you guys an opportunity. But first, I want to share a story. And it was one of the stories that we were given to be able to go out onto the streets to preach the gospel. And it's this story about a little boy in his boat. And it's this really simple story that just shows the simplicity of the gospel message. Because in church, we take the gospel message and we put our own rhetoric or whatever around it to make it complicated. But the thing is, the gospel message is so simple and so powerful. So if this simple gospel message can work out on the streets to see, I think it was 155 or something people, 153 people saved over the week, which was awesome. But if that story can work on the streets, then it can work in the church. So I want to tell you this story about a little boy. Now, this little boy and his father, they created this little boat in their back shed. And they spent so much time and effort onto this boat to make sure it was perfect. They spent months and months crafting this little boat until the day finally came where they were ready to take it down to the local stream. So the little boy, he went down to the stream and he put his boat in the water. And it did exactly what it was created to do. It started floating down the river and it was perfect. But then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, whoosh! This blast of wind blasted through and blasted the boat quickly out of sight. Now the boy ran after his boat, screaming, "My boat! My boat! My boat!" But it was nowhere to be seen, and it was quickly out of sight. So for 3 days, this boy was mourning the loss of his boat. This boat was perfect, and he had handcrafted it exactly the way he wanted it to. And he was lost. And so this boy, after these 3 days, he went down the street because he thought he might try to find something to cheer himself up. So he just was thinking he might go down to the servo to buy a Slurpee. So on the way to the servo, he walked past the salvo store. And in the window of the salvo store was his boat. So he slammed open that door and said to the old mate behind the counter, "That is my boat." But the man looked down at him and he said, "Well, mate, that boat was brought in to us and it costs way more than a little boy that you can afford. So this young boy was desperate to get his boat back. So he did everything he could. He washed every car. He mowed every lawn. And finally, when he was bruised and sore and sweaty, he came back with the money. He slammed that door back open and slammed the money on the counter and said, "Give me my boat." Then the old mate behind the counter went and grabbed his boat and gave it to this boy. And the boy lifted the boat up in the air and said, my boat, once I made you, now I brought you home. So I'm sure a lot of you can know where that story comes from and where I can go with that. But Jesus paid the ultimate price for us when he died on the cross for us. And that bondage that so many of us try to trap ourselves in, we can be free from. Get my notes back up. So, I don't know if there's anyone here that needs that fresh love to be poured out on them today, or they want an encounter with the Father heart of God, then I'm going to give you an opportunity to come down to the front and we can pray for you. But I also want to put it out there, if there's anyone that has never given the decision to follow Christ and they want to give it all to him, then I'll give you an opportunity to come up to the front for prayer as well. But thing is, if we don't have intimacy with the Father, then nothing else matters. So I know there's many people here that would have family members that don't know Jesus and are praying for them on a constant basis, but are you praying for them so that they'll find Jesus, or but are you praying for them so that they'll get their life completely transformed? And are you living a life laid down for Jesus that can be a representation of who Jesus is? So that's basically all I got. And yeah, if you want to receive that Father's love for fresh today, we'll give you that opportunity in a sec. And I'd love to pray for you. So yeah.
Pam, can I grab some keys? Yeah, we want to give you that opportunity, but I also want to say this is, as a dad, my greatest desire is that my boys understand that the Father in heaven loves them. And I can't tell you what it means to hear those words, "I know Father God loves me." I can tell you in the natural, Shell and I are really a little bit scared about the idea of him kicking him out of the nest and off he goes. But you know what gives me the most peace is that I know that I can release him, my boy, into the arms of his papa, and God's got him because God loves him more than I do. And God loves you with that same intensity, with that same thing. He looks into your life and goes, "You are my precious child. I love you." And he does want to touch your life today. When we come and we surrender to the plans that he has for us, there's an adventure ahead of us like never before. Aaron told a testimony this week of an African lady, the eye one. A guy that the witch doctor had taken out, had popped his eyes out. He'd gone there and it actually removed his eyeballs. And as they prayed for him, they got the kids of the village around. Is that right? Eyeballs appeared in the head. That's beyond my imagination. I just don't know. But this guy was a walking testimony because he'd been there and he'd seen it and it happened. We don't know what God's going to call us into. I don't know what testimonies that Aaron's going to come back from Africa with that are going to transform his life, but also ours. And so, right now, I release you, Aaron, to be all that God has called you to be. To go on this extravagant adventure with Papa God. As you've already said today, but I beseech you, I urge you, I cheer you on to keep your eyes on your Papa. And may you experience abundantly more than you could ever ask, think, or imagine as you trust in Him. If your eyes wander, be quick to put them back where they need to be. If the fears of all around you bombard you, be quick to find your anchor in Christ. And the words that you have in your room out of Isaiah 40, fly on the wings of eagles. Don't grow faint, for He will sustain you in everything He's got for you. I bless you and release you. If there's anyone who wants to respond to the gospel message, we want to pray with you today. If you just need a touch from the Father, then just come and just sit in His presence. For those of you visiting with us, we do have a cup of tea and those things out there in the cafe area, but just come and sit in the presence. It's probably better than any cup of tea you'll ever get anyway. Father, we just want You. We just want You. Nothing else matters. So yeah, if you want prayer, come on down the front. And if you just want to share with someone around you, that's great. Or by all means, go out and have a cuppa. We would love to pray with you. We just bless you now.